Let's Get Moving with Maria. Inspiration to spend a few minutes each day to get moving on the small things that can make a big difference in your life.
Thank you for joining me today for Let's Get Moving. Today we're going to talk about meditation, and with me is Dr. Michelle Kambolis, mind-body health specialist and a meditation teacher. And thank you so much for being with me today.
Oh, my pleasure. This is one of my favorite topics. So any chance to talk about meditation and the impact on our well-being is something that I really welcome.
And headed into the holiday season, we all need some meditation. There's just no doubt about that. So let's start out, first of all, and talk about the difference between mindfulness and meditation.
So meditation is a practice of really entering into stillness and bringing the attention to a certain anchor or focal point. And so really what we're doing is we're training the mind to be able to return to the moment, to return to the present with this open, compassionate awareness, where we're not judging our experience or trying to make it different. Mindfulness is the ability to be present and in the here and now, but fully engaged with whatever we're doing in the moment. So mindfulness is sort of meditation taken off the mat and into real life, where life becomes a living, breathing practice of meditation.
So let's talk about meditation then, and how we can practice meditation headed into the holiday season where life is so chaotic. So for somebody who wanted to get started, how would they start out?
Well, I think it's really important that you set yourself up in a way where it's doable. So if we start slow and for a short period of time and then build from there, then it's more likely that you're going to stick with it, because meditation isn't easy. When we sit and meditate, we really come face to face with our mind, which is inherently unruly, very busy. It often takes us into planning and comparing and self-criticism. And we start to see the quality of our thinking mind. And sometimes that can be pretty difficult. It also allows us to be able to see the emotions that we're suppressing. And while in time, meditation can feel very, very peaceful and very liberating, initially we really begin to see the more uncomfortable aspects of the mind. And so really important to be gentle and not have big expectations on what it's going to look like. I think one of the myths about meditation is that you're going to sit down and feel peace right away. That's just not meditation. It shows you what's there. So, you know, keep that in mind. Be very, very patient with yourself. Most people find that sitting in the morning is easier because you don't have the download of the day and it's a quieter time. And then just start with 2 to 5 minutes of sitting in stillness. Closing your eyes can be really helpful, or you can just close the lid slightly and focus on a point in front of you. And then you bring your attention to an anchor. And the anchor that most people use is the breath. And in the form of meditation that I do, we focus on the out breath, just returning to the out breath again and again. And the mind will wander, it'll go off. You notice that it's gone off, and then you gently escort your attention back to the out breath.
And before I ask my next question, I want to give the keyword of the day for our special contest that's underway now. Today's keyword is bake. And all you need to do to be entered in the contest is text the word bake to 57500. This is your chance to win a $50 grocery gift card by texting the word bake to 57500. So let's just focus just for a second on that, those beginning days or weeks of meditation where you are kind of dealing with this chaos that is your mind and emotions. People are going to wonder, well, why should I do this? What is the benefit of actually looking at these things head on?
We live in a very externally driven world, and our attention is constantly taking us away from our experience. But when we look at how our relationship with our mind is, you know, doing, we just begin to understand ourselves so much better. And when we can just separate from the thinking a little bit, then there's, I think, a greater sense of presence, of being in the moment, of not being distracted, of being available. That's very difficult in Western culture without practices that really develop those abilities. And meditation really alters the brain. So not only does it decrease cortisol, which is a really problematic stress hormone that can lead to all kinds of physical or health issues, but it also, it shrinks a part of the brain called the amygdala, which is the fight or flight response. So we feel calmer, we feel less anxious, our mood improves. It also enhances a part of the brain that increases creativity, compassion, connection, self-acceptance. So really what we're doing is we're growing certain regions of the brain that amplify those qualities. These are qualities that we all, most of us desire. And it shrinks the part of the brain that leaves us feeling stressed and anxious.
In our society, my mind just goes to the negative rhetoric and all of the anger that seems to be kind of bubbling under the surface. And to me, this sounds like something every single person could benefit from and would really help our society as well, just to kind of alleviate all of that anger that people have pent up inside of them.
I often wonder how the world would be different if we all sat down and meditated, because meditation has two wings: focused attention, but also compassion. So we're meeting ourselves in the moment with greater compassion. When we're more compassionate with ourselves, we tend to be more understanding and patient and compassionate with other people. There was an incredible study where they had thousands of people meditate at the same time for a week. And the crime rates went down exponentially.
So let's go back to the out-breath, because I want to make sure that listeners understand exactly how to get started. And is there, before we go to the out-breath, is there just this kind of mind cleansing you can kind of do before you start really getting into the practice of meditation? Or is it, does it go hand in hand?
I like to start with just a few deep breaths, just coming back to the breath. So you would take your seat. Often people will sit in a chair with their feet on the floor. You don't want your back to be resting against the chair, just slightly away from the chair, so that you can elongate your spine. And having a steady posture really helps to maintain your focus, because the mind also associates stillness with sleep. And one of the biggest challenges is staying awake during meditation. So make sure that you're sitting, you know, kind of steady as a mountain. You might also be sitting on the floor in easy pose with your legs crossed, whatever is comfortable, but also allows you to be wakeful. And then you turn inward and you close your eyes and just start to scan throughout the body, noticing any areas of obvious tension or holding, and just see as best you can if you can begin to relax the muscles there. You might start at the forehead and then just travel at tension all the way down to the tips of your toes, just piece by piece, part by part, noticing. And so, you know, this initial step is really just being aware of what's happening in the body. And then you bring attention to the breath, and in this case, the natural out-breath. And you're not changing the breath in any way. You're just simply observing and witnessing the out-breath. And when the mind wanders, you can notice that it's wandered and just label it as thinking. And then bring attention back to the out-breath. So this is a very simple practice, but it's very intricate. And there's a lot that's going on in your mind-body system as you master this. There's a level of precision to it. You know, because you're trying to track one breath and then another breath and another. And the mind is like an untrained puppy. It'll try and take you away, right? To make that your reality, taking you out of the moment into planning for the future. Usually that's fear-based future thinking or ruminating about the past. So by coming back to the breath each time and not judging yourself, this is the other thing. You know, we can beat ourselves up for having a distracted mind. And this is a complete opposite of the intention of meditation. The intention is to be a very welcoming and kind to yourself and, you know, go easy and just open to the moment. So, and this is where everything is welcomed.
Yeah. How long does it usually take a person to really get into it, to really make it a habit and make it something that is positive without all of that chaos?
Well, that's such a great question. In my dissertation research, I looked at the impact of long-term meditation, and many of the people that I interviewed had meditated every day for over 20 or 30 years. And they would describe that in the beginning, they found it very difficult. So they would be in practice and then fall out of practice and come back to it and wonder why they had stopped. And this is something that I hear from students a lot. And I always say, you know, meditation doesn't care how long that you've been away. It only cares that you've returned. So it can take a long time. And that's why I really recommend that people find a specific time of the day and make it really easy, a time where it would be hard to fall out of practice. And then just build in that consistency. And don't worry if you fall out. Don't worry. You just come back in a really gentle way. We know that with meditation, not only does it change your state as you're meditating, but long term, it actually changes your traits. So every moment in meditation matters. It's cumulative.
That to me is amazing. How was that determined?
Yeah, so they look at the qualities, the personality qualities before meditation, and then track it over time to see what traits, what qualities change. And we find that people who meditate regularly are more alert in the moment, more present to what's happening. They're less judgmental, so they don't move into this black and white, good, bad, right, wrong thinking. They're able to have kind of a bigger, broader perspective. There's a greater sense of well-being, and we see a whole lot more kindness and compassion and altruism in those who meditate.
So you mentioned your students. What
Yes.
makes a great student? Does it have to do with age or, I mean, who is going to be the most successful at meditating?
Oh my goodness. Now that is a good question. Who is going to be most successful? I think those who are most successful are the ones that really see the bigger picture of this path, where you're not trying to perfect yourself, you're not trying to improve yourself, but rather get to know yourself well with just this curiosity. When you bring a curiosity to anything that you're learning, that's a quality that I really enjoy as a meditation teacher. Because with that comes an openness. I think when we come in with an idea of what something should look like, or we have an agenda, it's much harder to just receive what meditation has to teach us.
One of the reasons I asked you that question is that my life, and I know we all go through certain crises that make our lives more chaotic at one point or another. And so my thought was like, are there some people that maybe should wait a minute before they start meditating? Is maybe there a point where, for example, my husband recently had an accident, has been in and out of the hospital. I'm thinking maybe this isn't the best time for me to start meditation, but maybe it is.
Yeah, well, first off, I'm so sorry to hear about what your husband and you're going through that's terrorizing. And so to pause and ask whether or not this is the right time, I think is really wise. And I think if you can keep in mind that all meditation is not the same. So some meditation can be really healing for the heart and really soothing, and other meditations can open up more awareness of trauma and hurt and fear. So I think in situations like this, it's really important to work with someone that can help guide the process and shape the meditation in a way that's going to be optimally supportive to you so that it's manageable. And you'll be fine either way, but I think you don't want to enter in at a really tender point with the wrong, you know, or a meditation form that isn't fitting for you, because ultimately you want it to be a long-term practice. You don't want to have an initial negative experience that turns you off of meditation.
Right. I understand. I want to go back to one thing you said about different types of meditation. What are the different types of meditation?
So there are meditations that have you focus on a specific mantra. There are meditations that focus primarily on body and breath. Meditations that focus on forgiveness, or more compassion-focused meditations. And there are meditations that incorporate movement, walking meditation, qigong, various forms of yoga. So meditation can take many forms and they have different outcomes. So if you're focusing on compassion meditation, it will expand compassion, loving kindness, altruism. If you're focusing on mindfulness of body and breath, it'll improve your ability to be present in the moment, focused, aware, and it also fosters an overall sense of well-being. But different meditations will exercise different regions of the brain and in turn different qualities.
Yeah. So for a beginner, it would be really important to maybe decide exactly what your goal is or what your purpose is in wanting to meditate.
Very wise to do so. And people tend to hop around in our culture because we want to be entertained. And so it's hard to stick with a certain form of meditation. There's the sense of wanting to get more. And it's really wise to just choose one form and stick with that and just notice what that does and then explore from there.
What would be a final thought you'd want to leave folks with? Something that might inspire them to actually begin meditation?
I want people to know that anyone can meditate. That yes, you absolutely have the capacity to meditate. We've worked with children as young as 2 and 3, and they've been able to learn this skill. And so I would have you think about what your life might be like in 5 or 10 years if you embarked on this path. Right? Just really take a moment to envision the qualities that you want to embody and make that your intention as you start in with this practice.
Where can people find out more about you and maybe get some more resources about meditation?
You can find me at michellekambolis.com, and I hold in-person practices as well as online. We've got a regular practice every Monday at 7 p.m. Pacific time. And that's been running for the last 8 years. And it's a great entry point in if you've never meditated before, or if you are a meditator, it's a wonderful way to just expand your practice. And you can also find me on Instagram, where I'll often put up short meditations that are really accessible anywhere, anytime.
Michelle, thank you so much for being with me today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
My guest today has been Dr. Michelle Kambolis, a mind-body health specialist and a meditation teacher. And thank you so much for joining us today for Let's Get Moving. And remember, this is the second week of our contest, a chance for you to win a $50 grocery gift card. And all you have to do is subscribe to the podcast and listen to all of our new episodes from November 27th to December 11th. Now, somewhere in these three episodes, including this one, I mention a new keyword. Text those keywords to 57500 for a chance to win. Winners will be chosen and notified via email by December 14th.